We talking rom-com, we talking action, we talking drama and movie classics, whatever you want, yo, we have it, cause we talking movies on a podcast. So I married a film critic, so I married a film critic, so I married a film critic.
Hey honey, I just wanna talk about the movie like casually, you don't have to bring up cinematography, honestly, let's just talk about like how the characters were fun.
Married a film critic. So I married a film critic.
So welcome to So I Married a Film Critic. I'm your co-host Julia.
This is Barry the Film Critic. Hello everyone.
And tonight we decided to watch a movie I had never even heard of that came out in 2022 called The Menu.
I was really excited to share this with you. This is one of those films that they started promoting it in the middle of summer and didn't come out until fall. And initially, I was so confused because this film came out within weeks of another movie called The Invitation, which has a very similar setup, except they all go to this castle and it becomes a very straightforward horror film. I have yet to see The Invitation. And they would show the trailers for The Invitation and The Menu like back to back. I'm like, I don't even know which movie this is anymore. So The Menu finally opens. And I didn't see it in the theater, unfortunately. But man, I kept hearing people raving, like, you gotta see this thing. And thankfully, they sent me a screener to see it before the year was out. And I was so captivated. I just like, I gotta show you this thing because it's being promoted as a horror film. And we'll get into that more. But I can see it's a mystery. That's what I like about it. It's a character-driven mystery. There were a lot of films like that this year. There was, you know, and of course the movie's also a social satire. There's a movie that came out this year called Triangle of Sadness, which I did not like. It's over 2.5 hours long. It's poorly paced. It's on the nose. It's also scatological and disgusting, and it has this third act on a desert island that goes nowhere. And, of course, there was also Glass Onion. There was a lot of, like, mystery thrillers and also social satires that came out this year. But this was my favorite of all the, you know, ensemble mysteries that came out. Although the one that was traditional, of course, was Branagh's Death on the Nile, which, of course, is a traditional, straightforward Agatha Christie adaptation. That made my top 10 list. This was just outside of that. And I'll get into the reason why I think the movie is a little less than perfect, but I agree with just about everyone who's in love with this movie. I think it's a real sleeper.
So yeah, we were looking for a movie to watch, and he kept saying the menu, and I'm like I'm looking at the menu. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a real Abbott and Costello moment. I'm like, no, let's the menu. Like, we're looking at the menu. It's on right now. No, the menu.
Who's on first?
This went on for 2 hours now. No.
And then he wouldn't let me watch the trailer, so...
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that because, you know, you don't know what it is. And I didn't tell you what it was. And like, well, let me watch the trailer. Like, no.
Well,
I hate the trailer to this movie.
It said it was a horror satire. And I tend to enjoy some horror satires. Like, what are the other ones I've liked?
Well, Get Out is a big one. Obvious. Yeah.
And the one in the woods with the two guys.
Tucker and Dale's?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the cabin in the woods. Yeah, there's a few. Yeah,
so there's a few. But this I would definitely call...
We named two. You don't like horror films. You don't.
No, I've always said that I don't like horror films.
Yeah.
No, but I would call this like more of a mystery thriller.
Yeah. Calling it a horror film, I think, gives it an unrealistic... I mean, for one thing, don't go to this if you think you're going to see a horror film. It has sensational elements, but it's not about that. And when we talk about what the film is actually about and what it's dealing with, even calling it a horror satire, I think it's kind of a reach because what it's making fun of is very specific, but it's, you know, it's all about the presentation and who the villain is, which I think gives it something very special.
All right, well, let's get into it because our film opens up with food enthusiast Tyler Ledford and his date Margot Mills, and they're hanging out on a dock just waiting for a boat to pick them up, and there's 12 guests who are going to be taking a boat over to an island called Hawthorne, which houses this very exclusive restaurant. What'd they say? It's $1,200 a plate?
Yeah.
Yeah, $1,200 a person, and everyone, you know, rides over there together. They get served some very strange like appetizer on the boat. And all right, so who plays Tyler?
Well, Tyler's Nicholas Hoult, who I've been a fan of since about a boy, and he's just one of these actors who's just been so surprising. I loved him in a film with Colin Firth. I think it was called The Single Man, I believe, with Julianne Moore. Oh, yeah. I loved him in that, and he just continues to be interesting and surprising. He's more talented, more experienced, and better looking than most movie stars. He deserves to have a bigger career, I think, honestly. Big fan of Nicholas Hoult. He's great in this. Anya Taylor-Joy plays what becomes essentially the lead in the film, Margot. She's also the audience surrogate. We really need her.
And I didn't even recognize her. I saw her in Last Night in Soho, which I really enjoyed. And because she's a redhead in this, I didn't even know who she was.
Janet McTeer, who's a great actress. She plays Lillian, the food critic extraordinaire. John Leguizamo plays a movie star. The movie could have leaned into this a little bit more. He could basically be playing himself, and I'll explain a little bit more about that later. Reed Birney and Judith Light. Reed Birney, we just saw him in Mass a year ago. You remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He's in this, and his character has a memorable sequence. Judith Light, I believe she was was she on Who's the Boss?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of actors, like character actors you recognize – you know, it's good to see them, and they're all really giving it. It's a really fun ensemble.
Okay, so the group is given a tour of the island by the restaurant maitre d', Elsa.
This is Hong Chau, who's fantastic. She gives a very different performance at a film in theaters out right now called The Whale, which is the big Darren Aronofsky movie. Yeah, she's great. I think I became a huge fan of hers in Watchmen. She was very memorable in Watchmen, and I love her in this. She's a very intimidating, very no-nonsense, basically the caretaker of the island. She's clearly the second in command.
Yeah, she when she's checking everybody in, she notes that Margot wasn't on the guest list. And we later find out that Tyler's girlfriend was supposed to come with him, but she broke up with him. And so he invited Margot to come with him. And this is going to cause a lot of problems for everybody.
It was a very exclusive, very specific list. And the fact that Margot is a replacement seemingly has you know, you get the sense immediately that, oh, it's like it's really kind of taking things out of whack because they had a very specific group of people who have asked to attend.
Yeah. We get a tour of this island, and Elsa shows them, I don't know, basically everybody lives there together. So all of the sous chefs and everyone have these really close quarters. It's almost like a dorm room, and it's very strange. And then the chef, played by Ralph Fiennes, he has his own house, and she's like, oh, nobody goes into chef's house. So... yeah, I mean, what do you gather from this strange situation?
Well, the setup is the Wicker Man. I mean, no one says it, but this is a cult. It's a cult. And that's why I wouldn't say this is
that
a horror film.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's the setup of the movie The Wicker Man. I don't necessarily mean the Nicolas Cage film. I mean the original Robin Hardy film. But it's a very similar, you know, the story about someone who goes to an island. It's isolated. It's its own universe. The people who live on this island, they are engrossed in the day-to-day, even though it's this little world that they inhabit. They all have very specific needs. They all have their own specific kind of code, and they are all revolving around basically the queen bee, who in this case is Ralph Fiennes, who's Chef Slovak.
Yeah. So they seat everybody in this restaurant, and I don't know. There's what? Six tables. Oh, and the chef's mom is there too. His alcoholic mother.
Yeah, just sitting there drinking away.
Yeah, just sitting there. And it's an open kitchen situation where everybody, it's almost like there's one chef for each person in the dining room. So it's like everyone has their own personal sous chef creating their dinner.
Can I say immediately I love this film because it just takes off. There's no backstory. We don't need to see the relationship. We don't need to see the date going on between Nicholas Hoult and Anya Taylor-Joy. there's no backstory scenes with Ralph Fiennes' character. I mean, the movie just goes.
Mm-hmm. So right away, the chef does this weird thing where he'll clap his hands to get everyone's attention, and all of the sous chefs say, "Yes, chef." And at the beginning, it's like, "Oh, okay, this is interesting." And then as the film goes on, every time he does it, it just gets more and more unnerving.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the first dish, what? They each get like like a piece of rock and with like one like piece of fish on it, and then all these like edible flowers and leaves, and he's like, "You are literally eating the island."
Right. And what the chef says, and it becomes a motif in his presentation, is "Don't eat, taste."
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Hawthorne. I'm Julian Slowick, and tonight it'll be our pleasure to feed you.
The curtain rises.
Over the next few hours, you will ingest fat, salt, sugar, protein, bacteria, fungi, various plants and animals, and at times entire ecosystems. But I have to beg of you one thing. It's just one. Do not eat.
Is he here?
Taste. Savor. Relish. Consider every morsel that you place inside your mouth. Be mindful. But do not eat. Our menu is too precious for that. And look around you. Here we are, on this island. Accept. Accept all of it. And forgive. And on that note, food.
Yeah. He doesn't want anyone to just like scarf stuff down. He really wants them to like savor it all. And so you get to hear like the food critic talking about, you know, the different dishes. And it's just so strange. Like the second course is supposed to be the bread course, but there's no bread. And he just gives them like dips, like all these little dips and no bread. And they kind of freak out.
Yeah. I mean, the movie is, you know, in addition to being a mystery, and it's this real sense of like, where is this going and how far are they going to take this? And you know, I think for foodies, it's something interesting too, but it's also a comedy. It's extremely dark and the tone of it is intense, but like it's a very funny movie. The dishes are funny because they're obviously so unfulfilling.
Right.
No, you know, yes, of course you're just tasting this because there's no meal here. Because if you were to put all of the food in on one table, I mean, you would barely have an appetizer. This is so scant.
Well, I think the third course, which is where it gets interesting, there's like some meat, but it's supposed to be like, it's so weird. It's a thigh with a tiny pair of scissors in it.
Right.
And I don't remember the exact story he told, but it's disturbing.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be tacos. So everybody gets tortillas, and when they open up their tortillas, all of them have like images like printed on them, and they're all very personal. And like, how did they get this information? So like one of the tables is like embezzled money, like checks. Another one is a guy's affair. The Nicholas Holt character, him and Margot, it's pictures of him taking pictures of the food. Which, yeah. Like, just happened.
Yeah.
Because they specifically said, like, don't take pictures of the food. I think that's kind of a jab at, like, our Instagram era. Where...
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, and our obsession of self-documentation. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me talk about the critics for a second. I have a thick skin when it comes to movies that portray critics and, you know, and obnoxious journalists.
But you guys, Ratatouille kind of messed him up, so.
Wow, you jumped right – you – man, I was going to say – I, Anton Ego, man. you know, little kids being like, are you like Anton Ego? That really annoys me. And by the way, I hate Ratatouille, not the movie, the dish. I don't like Ratatouille at all. I had it.
So do you like that our daughter calls it Rat Patootie?
Yes, very much. No, and like, and look, I mean, that movie is fantastic. I think it's one of the best Pixar movies ever. I really do. But yeah, it was funny when that film came out and suddenly that character was like the face of every film critic who like I was working
well,
with.
He's not a film critic.
No, but he's a critic. But this idea, you know, that we're all like these sour, lonely, pathetic, wide-eyed guys who sit there and they just like hate everything and they're just there to destroy everything. I mean, because I'm watching these scenes with Janet McTeer and her co-star, forgive me, I'm blanking on his name, but they're sitting there, you know, they're having these very, you know, very pretentious conversations about every morsel and every texture of the meal. And I'm thinking, like, have I ever done this? Because, I mean, I remember, like, when I lived in Denver and I used to go to screenings all the time with, like, critics who are friends and I love these guys and, you know, we're all different walks of life and different approaches to movie critics, criticism, rather. I remember, like, going to see the remake of RoboCop and, like, being at a table of, like, four guys being like, that was really cool, man, the explosions, you know. Like, it wasn't like, you know, that film really had too much Robo and not enough cop. You know, not that kind of – but this is what you always see in the movies. Like the movie critics are always just the most insufferable.
And well, she does say to her – it's her editor. And she's like, oh, this emulsion cracked, you know. And Elsa is like listening to everybody's conversations.
Yeah.
And so yeah. She gets – okay, the emulsion she got – is like the size of a quarter. Like it's very small. And so they bring her like a huge soup bowl and they're like, here's some more cracked emulsion for you. And you're like, dang, they are really going for the throat here.
When they get the tortillas with the printout pictures on it, that's when the film starts to become really sinister. That's when the movie starts to tip its hat that it's going in a really dark direction.
Well, yeah, because now they're like, how did they find out these secrets about us? How do they know that we've embezzled money? How do they know? What was John Leguizamo's? What was on his tortillas? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's the movie he made.
Oh.
And this is why I think Leguizamo should have just played himself. They just should have – they, you know, and the fact that he's in this is wonderful and he's great in this. But like they should have just called him John and like let him do it because look – as most fans of him know, and you know, and I'm one of these longtime fans, he used to do these one-man shows on Broadway. I mean, like he's had a very long, very versatile, very interesting career. But he did this movie in 1997 called The Pest. It is one of the worst movies ever made. Leguizamo had a moment where I think like a lot of actors, like he's funny, but like he's not Jim Carrey. And he tried to do this Jim Carrey-like movie. And it's so embarrassing. The trailer is one of the most insufferable things. Like the trailer is set to the Macarena.
Oh, no.
And it's him just like making faces for 2.5 minutes. And the movie is like an extension of that. And it's so awful. I don't know. They reference like this doctor movie that he made that everybody hates and is embarrassed about. But really like Leguizamo could have just name dropped The Pest and we would have been like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we get it.
Oh, yeah. So – then, so now everyone's a little bit like, what's going on? Oh, and also Margot, we kind of get a feeling that she knows one of the guys there and we don't know why,
but
she recognizes him and we're like, oh, something's happened.
We got a table of bros like, bro, I just broke up with my girlfriend, bro. Hey, bro, working out, bro, pressing, bro. Okay. We got this, bro. Bro.
The bro table. All right. So now we get to the fourth course and it's called The Mess. And I should have known what was coming because they put down like a big white tarp on the ground. And I don't know. The chef gives this speech about how no matter what you do with your life, it just like gets messy. Things get messy. And you spend all this time people pleasing for people that don't even know you. And I was like, oh yeah, that checks out. And so he calls up one of his sous chefs and kind of humiliates him in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. And then the guy just blows his brains out and falls on the tarp. And you're not sure if this is like really happening.
And the food critic's like, oh man, this is brilliant performance art.
Yes.
What an astonishing performance.
They're like, wow, that is amazing. How did they do that?
And, you know, to the movie's credit, you're also asking the same question too. And spoiler, it's not fake. He really killed himself. What's eerie, especially if you see the film more than once, like I did, and you're able to look back and kind of have some reflection about this, it is tragic and creepy to think about how this was all premeditated. This was all planned. Yeah. This was a ritual that they are all a part of. The staff is aware of everything. There's all these moving parts. There's all these performance elements. It's really like scenes from a play. It's like, this is going to happen and this is going to happen.
Yeah, everybody, it's really like him giving them Kool-Aid, isn't it?
It very much. I mean, no, that's why. I mean, this movie is about the cult of personality. I mean, whether it's Chef Slovak or Guy Fieri or, you know, a famous chef who, you know.
Or even not a chef, just anybody who
right.
is like a guru.
But, you know, there is something to be said about these figures who are popular on television, or, you know, they've got their Instagram pages, or they're, you know, just these larger than life figures who have, you know, these godlike abilities in the kitchen. They, they do exude that sort of thing. Like, yes, I'll do anything for you to eat, to be at your table, to be worthy of your table. Because over the course of the film, we see how much it means to the chef's followers that they meet his approval.
Mm-hmm. So this older couple, they decide they're going to leave. They're not going to stay here anymore. And well, the man gets his finger cut off.
That's Reed Birney from Mass. Yeah. It's a small role for him, but you know, he's great. He's one of these actors who just, like everybody else here, he just gives such credibility. He looks the part and he's very good here.
And Elsa just like picks the ring up off the ground and hands it to his wife. And she's like, thank you. And she's like, you're welcome. It's so weird that everyone is being like, it's like they're all in just like they can't move. They're yeah. deer in the headlights. They're just like, what is happening?
Well, it's also like, look, I paid a lot of money for this, okay? And
I don't think
this is an exclusive table, and this is all clearly a part of an act. So, like, you know, the amuse-bouche was delightful, but we're gonna sit it out and
no one's thinking that anymore. Only Tyler. Tyler's being weird. And he's eating all his food and he is like not paying attention to all the weird things that are happening.
I do think the sense of mystery is, I mean, it's certainly there for us, this yes. whole sense of how far is this going to go and how real is or is any of this? How many of them are actually a part of this?
So then we see one of Chef's angel investors being like hung from, I don't know what he's hanging from outside, but he's got like angel wings on. And he, you know, Chef is basically like, this guy owns the restaurant, so basically he owns me. And then the guy gets drowned and he's like, oh, well, I guess that takes care of that problem.
I don't like this moment. I don't know. It's so silly. I appreciate how theatrical Chef loves to make everything, but this moment,
yeah, I feel like I should have just kept it
inside the restaurant.
Yeah, because this was a very strange, like, where were they holding him this whole time? What were they hanging him from? Like, was there a crane outside that we didn't see? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I could have done without this moment. It's just, it feels a little out of place with the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
I realize right now I'm sounding a lot like the food critic at the table, the way I talk about this film. I'm becoming very self-conscious of my criticisms tonight.
Okay, so for the fifth course, they all go outside. And he's like, let's get some fresh air. And I'm like, oh, man. Okay. So one of the chef's female employees, he says that he's like, you know, she designed this course. And essentially, she tells everybody that the chef, like, sexually came on to her. She said no. He did it again. She said no. And then he proceeded to just ignore her for 8 months, never look her in the eye. And so she stabs him in the leg and what? That's just like his.
He's checking all the boxes, you know?
Yeah, like he
got rid of his boss.
Making penance
yeah,
now?
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to like, cleanse the palate, clean the slate,
mm-hmm.
make good for all the bad that's been done to him and all the bad that he's done to others. Yeah, yeah.
And then he gives all of the men a chance, like a 45-second head start to run to see if they can escape. And all the men run off except for Tyler. And then he looks at Tyler like, you too, go on.
It's great because you're thinking, okay, is this the rest of the movie? Is it going to be the most dangerous game?
Right. That's what I thought about.
And I'm so, and no, it was just, it's just a moment that the movie goes in this direction. I love that because it is the sense like, oh, okay, this is.
It turns into a hunting party.
Yeah, this is going to be the rest of the movie. No, even, it's just for a few minutes.
Which is like a total weird cult thing to have happen. But yeah, it's strange. And then all the women go back inside and they sit down with that gal, that sous chef. And they basically are like, are we going to die tonight? And she's like, yeah. And I came up with that idea. I'm so proud of myself. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
So all the men get caught, obviously. And one of the last guy to get caught, he hides in like the chicken coop. And this hand just like opens up a window, puts like a plate of food in front of him and was like, well, you're the last one to get caught, so here's a dish, like, congratulations. And he just, like, resigns himself and just, like, takes the food.
Yeah, that's great. They are calling all the shots. They give you these moments of hope. They give you these moments where it truly feels like you've got the upper hand or you have a chance, and then they take it away from you. They take away your hope. They exhaust you. They mentally and physically exhaust you. Yeah, it's a very effective way to control a group.
Yeah, and we find out that Margot is really Aaron. But before that whole thing happens, the chef does call her out.
Yeah.
And he's basically like, who are you? Like, what are you doing here? He corners her in the bathroom, and it's a really kind of freaky.
It's a great scene because she's the only thing that takes him off guard. Mm-hmm. Everything else, I mean, he's in control of this world. She is not a part of it. She's not interested in his pretentiousness. She's not interested in the food. She loses interest in her date. Everything about it. I mean, she's so out of place amongst these people. She's definitely not in the same social stratosphere that everybody else is in. So she's the outsider. He recognizes that, and her presence rattles him.
Yeah, he calls it. He's like, I know a service worker when I see one, you know, and he tells her, you can either die with them or you can die with us, but you have to pick a side. And I just thought that was kind of strange.
You need to belong. Who do you belong to?
Yeah, who do you belong to? But we find out she's an escort. And when the men are off, like, running away, and the women are talking, you know, we find out that the wife, like the older wife, asks, like, you know my husband, don't you? And she was like, yes, I do. Like, basically everyone's just like coming clean because they're like, I'm going to die anyways. I'm just going to say everything. Like, what's the point of lying anymore? Mm-hmm. You know? So we do find out in a conversation with the chef that, yeah, this man basically, I don't know, was like really awful to her during a sexual encounter. So, yeah.
So he deserved to lose his finger. So,
yeah.
Pick with it.
All right. So, basically, the chef explains to each guest, like, why they were invited, because they contributed to him losing his passion for his craft. And they are living off of exploiting the work of artists and people like him.
And initially, it's like a big villain speech, the talking villain, but it has a touch that I love so much, and it made me love the scene in general. There's a character who raises her hand. She's like, "What? Why am I here?" And he's like, "Where did you go to school?" He's like, "I went to Brown." He's like, "Any student loan?" She's like, "No." He's like, "You deserve to die." I love that so much.
Yeah. So he announces that everyone will be dead by the end of the night. And he refuses to let Margot leave, even though privately, yeah, he tells her you can die with the staff or the guests.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So.
So she goes off to, he gives her an errand. He gives Margot an errand to get this barrel that's needed for the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
In doing so, she goes where she's not supposed to go, which is the chef's quarters.
Oh, no. But before, there's something that big that happens before that.
All right.
It's Tyler's situation.
Oh, so yeah, that's right.
The chef reveals that Tyler was invited to this dinner months in advance and told him that everyone was going to die at the end of the night. And Tyler is like so obsessed with this chef that he didn't care. He came anyways. And he was going to bring his girlfriend, but she broke up with him. And so he's like, so you decided to bring an escort with you? So she's going to die now? And he's like, well, you wouldn't take reservations for one. Which is untrue because his mom is sitting at a table for one. So, you know.
Well, he's awful.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about Nicholas Holt's performance. He doesn't apologize for this character at all. That's what a great actor does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we fall out of love with him just as she does.
Yeah. But the chef is just like now blowing smoke up his butt because he tells him like, you know about food, like, you know about all, you know, flavors and herbs. And so then he forces him into the kitchen and forces him to cook something. He's like, come on, cook for us.
It's a great scene.
You know, it's so easy. Just cook for us. So he ends up making just like this undercooked lamb recipe. And I love that the movie always puts like what the courses are. And it just calls this one.
It's
just
the biggest laugh of the film. Yeah, we shouldn't give it up. It's really
no.
Funny.
That's spoilers. People have already seen this.
But it's got a swear word in it.
It's just called Tyler's Bullsh. And it's like undercooked lamb. But it is really funny. But after that, he whispers something to Tyler's ear. Do you think he whispers that he wants Tyler to kill himself?
Probably just tells him that he's unworthy.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is. I mean, Tyler at this point is, you know, I mean, he's obviously this, you know, this Renfield. And, you know, and finds it's like Dracula. So anything he could whisper in his ear is probably enough to push him over. You know, you're not worthy. You know, you get out of my kitchen, whatever it is.
Yeah. 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 So then Margot discovers that he did hang himself, which is awful.
Yeah.
So then we get to the part you were mentioning where the chef asks Margot to collect a barrel that's needed for dessert. And Margot goes off and sneaks into the chef's house. And Elsa finds her. They have, you know, a knife fight because Elsa's like, you will not replace me. And I'm thinking, lady, you're all going to die. Why do you even care now? I mean, that just shows like how dedicated she is.
Yeah, it's great. And the last thing, because there's a fight between Hong Chau and Anya Taylor, and it's great. They go all out. And Hong Chau's, Elsa's last line, excuse me, her last line is, it's like, you know, I didn't forget the barrel. He just forgot. You know, it's like.
The last thing
she's going to say before she's going to die in a brutal way is just to, you know, she's just trying
herself.
To like, look, like I did a great job to the very end. Yeah.
I'm the best maitre d' of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So Elsa's dead.
Yeah. Margot, you know, continues like snooping around. And she sees a bunch of pictures of the chef.
She goes into his quarters,
yeah.
And it's this eerie room with no windows, cement walls, and just memorabilia of his life. You see that he was once probably a husband, father, worked different places, and you know, and his acclaim and write-ups about him are all over the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a one particular photo that catches her eye because it's the only one where he's smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wearing this goofy –
Kiss the chef apron.
Yes, and he's working at a burger place, and he's making a burger.
Yeah. So then she sees a radio and she radios the Coast Guard. All right. So dessert is being prepared and there is a funny moment where she comes back and one of the guys has a birthday cake and they're all singing happy birthday. And he's like, you told them it was my birthday? And they're like, well, it was kind of funny like 3 hours ago. Which haven't we all like told a restaurant it was someone in our party's birthday so we could get a free dessert? Like, who didn't do that? You didn't do that?
Never. You've done that?
You've never done
That's
that?
That's awful. You've done that?
Oh, yeah.
I worked at a 5-star restaurant. We hate it when people do that. Wow. You've done that? Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, so when I worked...
If I took you to this restaurant, to Hawthorne's, I don't know.
I definitely would be on the kill list for sure.
Be like, chef. She doesn't like your food.
Yeah. She tells people it's her birthday just to get a free ice cream.
I would be like Nicholas Holt, like, can I be in your kitchen, chef? She doesn't like seafood.
She doesn't like seafood. So, All right, then we're kind of in the, what, third act where...
Definitely, yeah, this is the bottom of the third act.
Yeah, where
Yeah, great fake out.
Yeah, great fake out. But the Coast Guard guy comes and the chef is like, Coast Guard's coming and you guys better not say anything or, you know, everyone's going to die, like including him. And so he recognizes John Leguizamo. The chef says, oh, do you want an autograph? Okay. So the guy writes, help me, instead of an autograph. And it turns out the Coast Guard is just one of the sous chefs. And they, you know, they think they're going to get saved. It's just all psychological.
It's right? It's a great moment, excuse me, because he's breaking their confidence. He's, you know, all that. Although it does actually verbalize my problem with the ending of the film, which we'll talk about in a minute. The chef says, you know, you all should have tried harder. You should have fought against this. Like, why didn't you do that? It's an excellent question, especially with the bro table. And they all got forks and knives.
Yeah, there
and Leguizamo, like they got a shot. I know, like they got three guys.
They're
with
outnumbered.
Knives.
They're outnumbered.
Kind of.
No, they are, because it's not just the chefs that are there, but there's like wine people, and then there's like bodyguard type people.
So they got three guys with knives guarding the door. That's like the big thing. Otherwise, they got like ladles. All like, okay, like ladles. The bro table goes after the guys with the knives. I'll go after the guy with the ladle.
Yeah.
And like the guy who's like, you know, buttering the bread, like, or the non bread.
Yeah, but they saw the guy get his like finger cut off. So now they're scared.
At the same time. Like, no, I don't buy that they would just be so docile and just sit and you know, amid defeat. Although that might say something. Perhaps the chef is aware of the psychology of this group, that they, you know, that they're going to be more cowardly. After his, you know, different degrees of intimidation, maybe that's it too, because the chef is so good at reading people. He's a good profiler. I just, yeah, I don't quite buy how group.
They don't 100% believe they're going to die either.
I disagree. I think they're very aware.
Well, it takes them a long time for all of them to believe it. You know what I mean?
It's so goofy. Yeah, I don't buy it. I really don't. I really feel like there should have been some kind of last stand before what happens. But in any case.
Well, there is a last stand with Margot. So she stands up and she tells the chef, like, I hate your cooking. Your food is terrible.
And she does it with the clap, which is great.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
She takes away his power.
And then he says, well, you know, what can I make for you? And she says, a cheeseburger with fries. And he makes it for her. And it's like the one part. In the one scene in the film where he's cooking with a smile, kind of.
Yes.
And it does look like a great cheeseburger. However, I mean, I'm not a fan of American cheese. And he says it's the best cheese because it doesn't crack. Really? Have you ever had cheddar or Swiss cracked on your cheeseburger? That makes no sense.
He is a monster, Julia.
He is a monster.
Yeah.
It's fake cheese.
And he admits to it, too.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So... She asked him like how much it is, and he's like $9.95.
Yeah, she gives him a 10, and
well, then she takes a bite, and she's like, that's really good, and she's like, but you know, my eyes are bigger than my stomach. Can I get this to go? He gives her a to-go box, a goodie bag. She leaves a 10 on the table, and he lets her walk out.
It's great.
Yeah.
No, she gets him. She's the only one who gets him, and it's the sense of relief on his face. When he does that for her, and when she leaves, the contrast, it's like he was able to dip back in that, to that thing he lost, probably the last time in his life that he was truly happy.
Yeah.
That he was really happy making food before it became, as she said, an obsession, because she's right. She gets it.
Oh yeah. Cause she's like, you don't cook with love.
Yeah. Yeah, you cook with obsession, and she's 100% right. She completely reads him the right way. She gets that from observing him. She gets that from being in his bedroom and seeing, you know, his basically his tribute to himself, which is a very modest it's a very small and modest room that he has, really. And his life is now dedicated to excellence that, you know, was underappreciated. And so this is his way of performing this act of vengeance. But yeah, she gets him, and she gives him this last minute refrain from his own, you know, routine, And when she leaves, you get the sense of like, oh, he's devastated. He's got to go back to this. He's got to go back to the, like, he's got to see this through. He's going to finish this.
Yeah, I kind of thought maybe he would like not do it for a second.
And I suspect they all hope that too, because yeah, it is this wonderful disruption to everything. The rest of the staff rather are standing in attention, watching him make this cheeseburger, this double cheeseburger for him.
Yeah, a double cheeseburger.
Oh yeah, that's how you know it's good.
So, all right, the final dish
is it's s'mores, and it's wonderful that he explains like what an abomination it is, and how it's, you know, it's such a, basically just that it's terrible, and that's kind of the reason he's, you know, that's the reason he's making it, because it's like it's everything that's wrong with food.
But what's hilarious, and I shouldn't, it's like not funny, but it's funny, is the staff put these stoles of marshmallows over everyone. So it's like they're wearing like marshmallow scarves and
chocolate hats.
And then there's just like just crumbles of graham cracker all over. And then
it's very artfully
placed. Yes. But what's hilarious is like they have these like massive marshmallows on these huge branches and like kind of put them around like what would be a campfire. And then the chef like grabs charcoal, like hot charcoal, because he establishes like he's lost all feeling in his hands from like cooking his whole life. So he says the only way that s'mores become s'mores is through fire. And that's basically like redemption in a way. Is that what you got from that?
Or in his mind, yeah.
In his mind.
Says, I love you. And they go, I love you, chef. You know, it's his last moment. It's the last moment of everybody drinking the Kool-Aid together.
Yeah. So he basically sets everything on fire. And
all the guests just sit there and take it. I'm going, no.
They do.
No.
They sit there and burn?
No. It's, you know, yes. Okay. They're exhausted. They're worn down. They're devastated. They're discombobulated. Whatever.
They're not going to try and maybe
there's something to be said about maybe there's something in the wine or the dish that makes them more docile. Maybe there's something to that. But no, I don't buy. But I don't think that's true at all. I mean, I think we're supposed to be under the impression that they, to some degree, they're buying into this allure of him.
Well, you can kind of see the look on their faces.
One of them says thank you as she's about to go up in flames. Maybe just because
like
it's over.
Chocolate dripping in people's eyes, and it's so crazy.
It's crazy. It's darkly funny. It's so strange. I mean, you know, it's a great ending, but again, I don't buy that they just sit there and let this idiot do it, especially because they're furious with him and he's awful.
Yeah, he is awful.
And he's abused them for hours. It's like, no, 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 no.
He's a total psychopath.
I think they would have all made one last rush to stop him.
It would have made more sense if they had all like run towards those, like, because it's established that the windows are, you can't break them, you know?
Right.
And if they all had just like tried to get out at the same time, maybe. But all you see is, you see Margot in the boat in the middle of the water and she watches the restaurant just explode.
Yes.
And she just sits there and eats her cheeseburger.
Yep, and the film ends. do you think that's how the film ends? Do you think anything happens after that?
Well, yeah, I think she goes to the police.
Okay.
Because obviously people are going to find that Hawthorne is up in flames. I mean, there's no way, like, wouldn't people know?
Okay, so that's what you think happens?
Or do you think she just goes back to her regular life?
You're not going to like this at all.
What?
I think she's dead. I think he's poisoned her.
Oh, you know what? I did have a thought that maybe there was poison in her burger.
Yeah.
You think he kills her?
I do. I don't think anybody survives.
Oh.
Because he's a monster. He's awful.
Yeah, for a second, I thought she was going to faint.
Yeah. Because the camera lingers on her when she takes a bite, and the music gets a little strange for just a moment, and then the black... The end credits.
Yeah. You know what? You're probably right.
I don't like it. I don't like it either. I want her to live. I like her.
You're right. She's poisoned.
Yeah. I don't think she's alive at the end of the film. I don't think, you know, the boat dies before it really gets further. So no, I think they're probably going to find a boat with this dead girl in it. And then they're going to get to the island and see where the real horror shows.
Why are you right about this?
I don't know if I'm right, but I mean, I think that's an interpretation the movie's leaning on, because again, he says, I'm a monster. She gets him. He lets her live. And that's my favorite thing about the third act. It's such a surprise, but it's also this wonderful thing of, you know, when you're a chef of this caliber and, you know, you have this allure, it's not just that, you know, people work hard for you. People don't get you. No one gets your pursuit of excellence. She gets him.
Okay, but
that's why she deserves to live, but not really. I don't think he would let her live. I don't.
Okay, but that would mean that he knew, like he would have, she would have asked for the cheeseburger and he would have poisoned it.
As he was making it, or maybe when he went back to get the goodie bags, like she asked for it to go. That doesn't cut it. We don't do doggy bags at Hawthorne's. Sprinkle, sprinkle.
Oh, yeah. It could, that's
he
true.
He might have been some sled Ann. Yeah.
That's true. Okay. But do you think he would have let her go if she hadn't have asked for it to go?
No, she came up with a puzzle for him because suddenly she breaks his routine. She breaks the order of things. You know, she's ordering off of the
As
menu.
They say she's the ingredient that we weren't anticipating.
Right, exactly. So, no, I think she brilliantly is able to – she's the only one who's able to break through to him, the only one. Mm-hmm. Initially, she's –
But it's not enough.
It is.
She still dies.
Or does she?
No, because I
think
didn't
that's
have,
very. I think that's very likely how the movie ends.
Yeah,
and I don't like it either. I'd rather she get away. I really do.
I know, but I did have the thought, like, before it went to black, I was like, did he poison her?
Yeah.
Because there is a one, like, slight look on her face.
And it's interesting, too, because that's really the tragic. That's the tragic death. If that is how the movie ends, that's the real tragedy, because who cares about the rest of those awful people? She's the one you wanted to get away, because, again, she's the audience surrogate. Because even if they're – and I know a lot of foodies who saw this movie, and they're like, I went to a fancy restaurant after I saw this movie because I was just so hungry. fine, whatever. But like she is the audience surrogate. We are rooting for her. We relate to her. Even if you're a foodie, you know, there's something so off-putting about the – about.
I
can't imagine people wanting to go to a restaurant like this after seeing this movie.
Like $1,200 a plate for like not – Food, I mean.
But I'll tell you what, though. I've been thinking about this. I want to go to all my restaurants and have Chef Slovak be the chef. Be like, clap. Good evening. Welcome to the International House of Pancakes. Tonight you will be eating lard, sugar, high fructose corn syrup, sweetener, and high fructose corn syrup. Tonight I will create a concoction called the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. Or like you go to Waffle House, he's there. Or like go to a hot dog stand. Hello, good evening. You're at the pit stop in front of Home Depot. I'm about to make you a tube steak covered in smothered onions. Like, I would love that. I would love to go to like a bad restaurant. And he like, I want to go like when he's at the burger place. You know, like this dude. He's got the skills.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So how many stars do you give it?
Oh, 3.5.
Okay.
I think the ending, you know, is as outrageous it is and as unexpected as it is, I don't buy it. You know, the film, one of the brilliant things about it, it's presented in this ornate way that reflects this world and reflects the, you know, the presentation of the world. So that's really remarkable. But at the same time, I do feel like some of the aspects of the screenplay are a little too contrived to swallow. Like I said, like the guy in the angel wings who gets drowned, like there's a few moments where I think like maybe pushing the premise a little too hard, because you have Ralph Fiennes giving one of his best performances, which is really saying something. He's been brilliant for decades. He's incredible in this. It's a great performance. Hong Chau is fantastic. It's Elsa. Anya Taylor is great. Nicholas Holt. It's just an ensemble of great actors. Yeah, so I think there's just a few missteps in the script, but otherwise I think it's a wonderful movie.
Yeah, I would say 3.5 stars for me.
Cool.
Yeah. So do you have an alternative ending?
Oh, I already gave it. I mean, you know, I don't think the movie needs to, that's one of the things I love about it. I mean, the movie takes off running and then it ends without the baggage of like the cops, you know, giving the interview and she's got a robe around her and so what else happened? You know, and then she drives away and the camera, you know, like that
I have
whole,
an alternative ending.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So she is poisoned and the cops find her, but we don't, it's just like, we don't see that part. We just see like the final newspaper article about Slovak. And it's like some kind of like disgraced, you know, chef. And there's something clever in it that I don't know. It's too late for me to figure out what the picture would be or whatever.
Well, but I think it would be the picture of him at the burger place. And it would be a quote from Margot saying like he made the greatest cheeseburger.
But she's dead.
Or is she?
Oh.
Your ending, she would definitely be there. They'd definitely be interviewing her.
Oh.
And then it would cut to the newspaper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. I'd rather her be alive.
Yeah. I think, and I suspect most, I don't know. That's my buddies who love this movie. I wonder if they think she's alive at the end of the film. I don't, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'll see it again.
Well, I think we did it. I think we covered it.
I think we covered the menu and not the menu on our screen. Like we were yelling at each other for minutes on end. No, let's watch the menu. I'm watching. No.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah. So anyway, hope you enjoyed the film. Hope you enjoyed our silly conversation about this movie. And yeah, we'll see you all soon.
That concludes our discussion of The Menu.